This is CliffCentral.com.
We are, it's live. Hello, everybody! A little false enthusiasm for a Friday for you.
Oh, no.
Why is it false?
No, I like Friday. I'm enthusiastic. It's just like, you know how people do that sometimes? They, hey, it's good to see you. You know how people come up to you sometimes and they say hello to you at the office and they're high-fiving you and they're jumping around and they're all full of energy and you're like, hey, you know what? Hello would have been fine.
Just sufficient.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the crew's here. We've got Mabali and Sia, we've got Amanda, and we've got a special guest this morning who's going to be hanging with us for the morning. He's a friend of the show. We've had him on here a couple of times, and he knows the place like the back of his hand. Rabin Hardith, how are you, dude?
Gareth, good, thank you.
Maybe I should switch on your mic. Yeah, let's start with that.
It sounds like I'm in the corner.
You were locked out.
Yeah, and at the end of the warehouse,
you put in a chair at the end of the room.
Yeah. the little weird, strange intercom system.
How are you, animal?
Good, thanks. Fantastic. Yeah, you're right. You're right about the people that are overconfident. Oh. It's not always. Sometimes you go, okay, I appreciate it. I understand you're on holiday and stuff.
Yeah.
But then their confidence doesn't. The confidence exceeds my ability to.
You just can't measure
fake
up.
It, yeah.
You kind of, with people like that, you sort of just ratchet it down like two levels and we'll be hundreds.
And I find it's people that go a lot to these talks. You know, these guys that, hey, Mr. Management Guy,
you know what
you can make a million rand in 5 years.
They've seen
I was like, yeah, I know you made it. You just charged 6,000 people 400 bucks.
Those guys.
That's how you made the money.
Yeah, that's the ones. Yeah. Son of a bitch.
And the little 400 rand sucker guys are like, ah.
I hate those people.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh, no.
It's also those people who you'd see they've watched too many TED Talks online or something.
So you often get, I'm sure you get called a lot to go, hey, Gareth, would you like to be on a panel discussion on a thing in a place?
Yeah.
And do you kind of go, well, does this suit me or not? Or do you just go, I'll take it because it's money? Or you go, ah, it's got to fit into a thing?
It depends on what it's about. Like, I won't go and join a panel discussion unless it's something in my industry or it's something that I can add value on. I don't want to go and talk about stuff. We've got 3 hours every day here to talk about what's going on in the news.
True.
You know, what TV shows are interesting and who's in and out in politics.
Yeah.
And
there's plenty. A lot of that.
We've got that every day. So I don't feel this need to have to talk to people and address people. For some people, that's all they have is those panel discussions. They don't have a place where they can have conversations and talk to Mabali and, you know.
But also, talking is exhausting.
Mm. Yes.
You know, there are days where I would rather go through the day in silence and just kind of mumble my way through
and
conversation.
Just grunt.
Grunt.
I work from home, so this already, four people sitting around the table, is like the most people I've had in my life for like a long time. So I'm a little bit excited.
You've become like a
house husband.
You're a family man. I wasn't going to say house husband,
but I'm a family man.
You know, like that makes you a bit insular because your focus becomes your kids. And
I work from home, which is double insular.
Yeah.
I suppose if I was every day waking up, going to the little corporate office, ticking away, and then going back and still being
But
dad.
why did you ask about the panel discussion thing?
Because I think often people would go, he is someone of a certain stature, or they go, he's got a Twitter following, he's got a Facebook following, he's got a thing. And they go, let's just get him there. And then how do you go, yeah, but what do I need to offer about medical aid in Limpopo? You know what I'm saying? Do you just take the money and run?
I would never find myself in that situation.
Yeah.
And usually, whenever I do those talks, I don't do it for money. In fact, I cannot remember the last time I did a talk for money. I'll MC an event for money, but even those I don't do very much of anymore. So it's really just when I want to talk about something that's got to do with, you know, podcasting or digital
that
media.
That seems to have taken a lot of, I wouldn't say a lot, it's a lot of your time, but you've started digging that cave a long time
ago. Is that a BlackBerry?
Yes.
Sweet Jesus. I don't know. I was so...
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry. I was just distracted by what you... I wasn't even listening to you. I saw that thing sitting on the desk. Like,
what?
That's like someone bringing a Zulu assegai from King Shaka's time.
To the middle of Afghanistan. And just putting it down on the table.
It still has a keypad. Is that a keypad?
Yeah. Mops, this is a new one, though.
The new
one. It's the... this is me. I'm that family guy. Old school guy.
Yeah.
I've never not had a BlackBerry since 2007.
Yeah.
This is I've had an Android tablet before, and this is my first Android hand device.
Does it have it's Android, BBM so. On it?
It does. Oh, but can I tell you the weird thing with BBM is
good old
no one else has it, yeah. So I can't BBM
anyone. No. No.
Yeah.
We it's iMessage
a, that's
now.
That's incredible. That's an artifact.
No, it's not a bug.
Yes.
It's not an artifact.
It's 5 months old.
Mubs, it's an artifact.
No, wait a minute. But
did you loot that from a museum?
No, I bought it at I bought it in London, actually. Now you say that.
What else do you have in your bag? Do you have like a?
Oh, I've got an old proper Windows laptop.
Yeah.
This is great.
Things that have cords in it. I love it. Like a watch that's just a watch. I know it's going to blow your mind because I see you got fancy things.
Yeah.
But a watch that's just a watch.
Yeah.
And
you're like
a car that's 22 years old.
Do you go to raves like in the 90s?
Discos.
Do you still watch Friends?
No. Okay, I mean, I do kind of watch. I love Seinfeld. Seinfeld's my thing, though. So I can watch Seinfeld and Larry David and Curb Enthusiasm.
Is that show still showing?
Oh, there's reruns everywhere.
Somewhere, somehow, there's always a rerun. That Seinfeld, Will and Grace, time. Friends.
Will and Grace has a new season out.
Yeah.
Hang on. Before we get into that, do you know that Seinfeld is somewhere in the world at any given time, it's some television show is showing Seinfeld?
So they're earning to this day.
Oh, are you kidding? Jerry Seinfeld must be...
He's still in the top 10 richest Hollywood earners, and he's not done a TV show in 16 years. Mm.
I don't know what I've done to deserve this.
Who's also consistently on the top 10
who?
Is Judge Judy.
Yes.
She still makes a ton of money.
Mm. All right, so it's Judge Judy, Jerry Seinfeld, Oprah. She's still making tons of cash because she made so much money that she just keeps making money.
But also, I mean, she puts her name to so many new shows these days. Mm. Like, she executive produces a ton of shows
She has a channel, though, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And she now has a food line. I mean...
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, she was the spokesperson for Weight Watchers for a while as well.
She bought into that.
She bought shares, and then they made her the spokesperson, too, so they probably paid for her shares. And then...
And how did that work out? I mean, in terms of...
Well, you know...
Being Oprah. On brand. You know, but you know... You've got to be on brand.
But Oprah is... She's like so many women, it's up and down the whole time.
And I suppose it's just an aspirational thing. Well, it's good to tell your friends, hey, I'm on this new, cool, broccoli-only diet.
What's Oprah's USP, her unique selling point, is that she's the every woman.
Yeah.
Except she's got a lot of heart, and that's what she does. She plugs herself into ordinary people and their concerns and their fears and their loves and their trials and tribulations. And then people feel, oh, like Oprah's just like me, but she is so not like you.
No.
Like, this is how we get the wool pulled over our eyes by politicians and entertainers, because Oprah is nothing like you. She lives in this enormous house. She says, oh, but I grow my own vegetables. She is not out there.
Jeffrey grows your vegetables.
Exactly. There's some white dude and some black dude who have to tag team each other during the week to plant seeds.
Yeah.
Sprinkle the water. They have to make sure there's fertilizer. Do you think she knows the first thing about 3-2-1 fertilizer? Not a chance.
No. She doesn't have to.
She might have to if she's presenting a show on it. Then she'll say to Jeffrey, Jeffrey, come over here. I need to know. Oh, my God, Jeffrey, you brought me so much. And then Jeffrey will come with some fucking pumpkin or something. Plonk it down on the table, and she'll go, okay, the cameras are going to be there. And she don't get me wrong. When it comes to TV, she's a genius.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute genius. This is the big lie. Like, Trump's big lie is that he cares about blue-collared workers, right? That he's interested in the working middle American hick. Yeah. Donald Trump is a New York man. He hates people from the country.
Yeah.
Donald Trump hates poor people. And Donald Trump doesn't care about your job. He's never had a job. His job was to be his daddy's child and later on to be the daddy himself and inherit his daddy's money.
Yeah.
Donald Trump is about as far away from the average American as it is possible to be. And it seems to me that Hitler's words, I hate to quote Hitler on a Friday morning.
And I mean directly after speaking about Trump.
But here we've got the two of the most powerful people in politics and in entertainment. And sometimes they're both, you know. Mm-hmm. Because Oprah might run for president, Donald Trump is president, was in TV.
Kid Rock wants to run for Senate.
I know, but here are Hitler's words. He says, the bigger the lie, the more people will believe it. Mm-hmm. And here's Donald going, I care about you to working class people, which he doesn't. And here's Oprah telling ordinary women in America, I'm like you, and she isn't.
And she's not.
And it's so, I mean, like Oprah's holidays, she's on the deck of David Geffen's yacht in the Med with Obama, and... You know, she lives this rarefied existence where she could call anyone on earth and they'll take her call. Anyone on earth. Kim Jong-un will take Oprah's call.
She's the answer to world peace.
But she's not like you. And then you've got all these hausfraus who are like, they're enraptured by the fact that there's she's like us. Mm. Madness. It drives me crazy.
She represents me. No, she does not. No.
But to go back to this Hollywood power list, because, I mean, Harvey Weinstein and this whole story has really kicked up a shitstorm there, like you can't believe. So you've got Oprah, you've got Jerry, you've got – who else did we mention already? You obviously got the big ones like Spielberg and Lucas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? These guys have made just so much money.
The Disney guy from Pixar, Lasseter.
You're thinking of SKG, so it was Spielberg,
Katzenberg,
and Geffen. Yeah. Those three. I mean, that's like, those guys are like the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of Hollywood. And I would probably say some of these late night guys are kind of powerful.
Mm, the older guys, like maybe Johnny Carson, Letterman. Excuse me.
Carson's dead.
Oh, sorry. I mean, Letterman, the other guy.
Letterman's still powerful, even though he hasn't been on
Jay
TV.
Jay Leno still makes a lot of money.
Well, you know, Rabin, I've got these cars. You've got a whole garage for the cars.
I think in comedy, though, there's just no one who comes close to Seinfeld because of the money that show has generated for him. He also collects cars. He has... He's done this Comedians and Cars with Coffee, which has been a runaway success. When it started, he started with a certain TV show. I can't even remember who it was, some little network. And they kind of paid him a little bit of money. And then I think it was Netflix came to him. And they said, we're going to give you four times the money. So he went, I'll go with them.
Yeah.
So he just ups and... So somebody asked him, what about loyalty? He's like, loyalty.
Yeah, that's the thing. Also,
how much money do you have?
Yeah, they say never try to meet your heroes because you might be disappointed. Inversely, you always are disappointed. But like we think, oh, he seems like such a great guy, a wholesome guy. Yeah, Jerry, or even Larry David, or anyone that you idolize, whether it's Joey from Friends or Rachel, Monty, anyone. They go, oh, they seem like such great guys.
He does live in the 90s. Yeah. His references are to Friends, a show that finished like 20 years ago.
I'm the really keeping up, man. That's I'm so trim.
Have you ever heard of the Kardashians?
I've not. I have heard the Kardashians, but I don't think I've watched
You're not missing anything. You're not missing anything.
Cardi B.
I know. No, the other day I tweeted, I need to Google Cardi B years old. But you see, these things are very faddish. Like the word fleek. Everyone was saying fleek. And when people were saying fleek, I knew there's going to be a time when I'm going to say fleek and people are going to look at me like that is so last week.
You're a dinosaur.
It's last week.
Yeah.
I was sitting with some comedians last year at the Cannes Comedy Festival and the guy was like, oh, I know, I just spoke to some Huns. I was like, Hans. I was like the German.
Yeah, like Hans from World War II.
No, and he was like, no, Hans. Like honeys.
Yeah.
So I was like, so that's already, honeys is already a short word for like girlfriend, which is a short word for my significant other. So he went from like significant other to girlfriend to honey to Hans. It's going to be uns. Then we're just going to call them my H. We want to abbreviate everything to like texty words.
Yes. Because we
completely.
Are. No, because it takes far too much effort to say the word in its entirety. So we must cut them all down. It's just too much work.
Isn't that amazing? Like
it was three vowels and two consonants. That is too much for us to handle in 2017.
That says a lot about human race.
It says a lot about younger you. I don't. But then sometimes you see, and this is Luis Gola. He did this, but years ago. Yeah. He goes, and then people like the ANC have the complete opposite problem.
Yes.
Where they add everything, so they can't say SABC. Mm. You'll never hear a cadre, a comrade say SABC. He'll say South African Broadcast Corporation.
Yeah.
He'll never say TV. He'll say television. He'll never say ANC. He'll say African National Congress. Now put those three things in a sentence, and what could be 14 seconds is a minute and a half fucking thing.
You wrote for him for a little bit, didn't you? You kind of co-wrote some stuff with
I was with the writing team every now and again, but I wasn't credited, but like I produced a lot of his shows.
Sounds so like you had the shittest time by the look on your face. You didn't enjoy it?
No, it's because it's the thing of, so David Kibuka David Kibuka is my friend, so everyone and I was still doing 9-to-5 jobs then, so they just had this different life, these comedians that would wake up at any time and sit in a room with all my other favorite people in the world, Kagiso Ladiga, Chris Forrest, all these guys, and they'd write TV shows. They'd write Pure Menace Show, they wrote LNN, they did all sorts of stuff. And I always thought, oh man, I'm just sitting here because I'm on a lunch break. So I got to go back and
so in other words,
you go back to the real world.
Yeah, and go back and speak to some guy about a house that's falling down.
So you were there and you were... You were just like helping out, but you weren't like on the payroll and you didn't get credits.
No, it's just because it's cool to be, because comedy is not a place like a university where you go and get a degree.
You want
to
be around other comics.
You just want to be around other comics. So okay. I never did it begrudgingly. I had that look in that face because I kind of went, I was there because I knew I wanted to be in that room, but I knew I needed to leave that room in 40 minutes time or in 30 minutes time.
So you felt like, I mean, would you like to do stuff in that vein? Is does that give you nourishment, your comedy soul? Does it feed you?
Yeah, so what I've started doing is I started being around the comedians. I haven't performed on a club comedy stage for about a year and a half.
Yeah.
Because in my mind, you need to flick that switch.
Right.
To being a producer, promoter, or an artist.
But you kind of have done that, right?
I have done that.
You've definitely switched over.
I've switched, so... So when I'm with them in a room now, it's different. Uh-huh. I feel as if I've not come full circle, but I've punched through that anxiety of, I just want to be with them. Now to a point of going, Loy will walk in a room and see me and come over and go, yo, how's it going? Good to see you. Haven't seen you since Montreal. You know, that kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
So my relationship with comedians now is much better. 2 weeks ago, we were at the Clarence Comedy Festival.
You did that last year as well, right?
Yeah, I did the second year.
It's your thing, this.
It's my thing now, and I didn't lose money this year, which is fantastic.
Oh, shit, that's quite a big
year. So, and I had great sponsors on board. I had Comedy Central, I had Corona. And I just kind of
good for
pushed
you.
The profit. And all the comedians that were there are like, this is like comedy boot camp. Because even a big name like Jason Goliath or Rob Van Vieren would not do 6 shows in 2 days anywhere else. So that kind of training, that kind of getting you match fit or getting you match ready, you know, even big name comedians won't do 6 gigs to 6 different audiences in 3 days.
That's pretty cool.
In a little town in Clarence. So there's this weird thing of, it's a small little place, but it's full. So I pick the weekend well.
Why did you say that you should never meet your heroes? I mean, I know that's a well... trotted out trope.
Oh, yeah.
People say it all the time.
Because
have you met a hero and been disappointed?
I wanted to meet a hero and was disappointed by his response via email. Ooh. And I kind of went,
who?
Oh, it's this Irish singer.
Wow, Rabin, you know what?
Anyway, no, but besides that, he's not my hero. He's the guy that sang out the song for our wedding song. And I knew that his manager, I used to, I shared a house with him when I lived in Ireland.
Oh.
So I was like, this guy, we did our wedding song and we danced the song. Mm-hmm. And guess where we're going for our honeymoon? Ireland. And we're going to be in this town that he lives in.
Right.
Just, you know, and I sent an email.
So you built up this fantasy in your head. And
no, because I just thought he'd go, oh, wonderful lad and lassie from far away coming to have a pint with me kind of thing.
Right.
And then he was kind of like, yeah. And I was like,
What did he say? Just give fuck off?
No, he said something like, I don't do this kind of thing type of email. Then I was like, which I was kind of, okay, well, that's fine. Maybe I just thought the whole romance of the honeymoon and coming to Ireland would kind of break that thing.
Was he polite about it? Or?
Oh, yeah, yeah. As polite as you can be in an email without saying
F you. A total douchebag.
No.
Okay.
But I mean, also saying that don't meet your hero is, And I started speaking about Seinfeld because we all think that he's right. this really cool guy. But he, like you said, he didn't get there because he was nice to everyone.
Mm. No.
At some point, when he had the discussion with NBC or when him and Larry walked in to work out a split.
Yeah.
Do you know there's someone must have gone, hey man, don't push me like that. Hey man, don't do this. They go, yeah. listen to you. There's yeah. a lot of money at stake.
Yeah. Exactly.
So if it's $20 million either way.
Well, that's why, just, you see, I've got this huge conflict in me almost all the time. Part of me really does want to be a nice guy and want to be liked. And I don't like the idea that there are people who hate me. It would bother me a lot. And it used to keep me up at night. And, you know, I'd think, well, I've been an opinionated douche for such a long time if I just learned to shut my mouth. But the other part of me is like assertive and doesn't care. And kind of that's what's made me who I am.
Yeah.
Or a part of that. And you have to have this balance, I suppose. But I'm still struggling with it when I think about how if you catch me on a bad day, you know, I'm not the most pleasant guy. And I suppose that's true for any of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's especially amplified when people have an expectation. And like maybe you meet because you watch Larry David on Curb Your Enthusiasm. And, you know, my buddy and I love that show. And he's so funny. And you think, wow, this guy must be so cool to sit and talk to. And maybe it's going to be the most awkward and horrible experience of your life to see him.
Yeah.
So Curb is great for me in my life as well. Because that was the theme song.
Hmm.
Was the song I walked down the aisle at the wedding to
Curb Your Enthusiasm? You spent a lot of time thinking about your music for your wedding, huh?
No, it was either that or the Seinfeld theme song. I told my wife, which one do you want? And she was like, I don't want that Larry David bullshit while I'm walking down. I'll have the Seinfeld thing. So she walked down to Seinfeld. Wow. I walked down to Larry.
Yeah, I was just going to ask, and your wife allowed you to do that? Because you know how they say that.
Let me tell you something.
Because you know how they say that. Let's talk about the wedding day belongs to the bride.
Yes. So there were a few things that I needed to push in there. Firstly,
wow, you're a nut case.
Being Indian, my wife's Caucasian, so she would I put the Asian in Caucasian.
Yes, you did.
For white people, the idea of a wedding is just like another 21st. You phone a restaurant. Or you phone a thing and you go table for 25 and bring out the nice champagne and everybody rocks up and then that's it. You can even send out WhatsApps and then it's done.
Mm-hmm.
Where Indian people is like this one and that one.
Yeah.
The function itself is bigger than the event.
Hundreds of people.
Hundreds. If I had to marry an Indian girl, we'd have to book out a big place and get 700 people and then that was it.
Yeah. So you married a white girl only because you knew it wouldn't lead to millions of people.
No, but then we had to play this weird game of me going, I need, like, my mom and dad had lots of brothers and sisters. So my immediate family,
yeah,
as in like my first aunts and uncles and my immediate first cousins, right, not even their kids, was starting to knock on that 100 list. Getting close to 100. And Natasha and her entire family and entourage and friends from work and everything was like 4 tables. So we had to try to bring the two together and kind of. There we go. The song is called Frolic.
Yeah, imagine walking up the aisle to this.
And I was, I've got a video somewhere. I must send it to you.
It's a nutcase. Quentin says, I just woke up. Why is Ben sounding so feminine this morning?
All right,
is that
Quentin.
My buddy or a dig at me?
All right, Rabin is with us this morning. Ben is away. He's back on Monday.
Does anyone know where survive. He is?
I don't know where he is.
I don't know where he is.
Oh. I didn't bother to ask. I feel bad, but I don't really.
You know, I think if people don't put too much information in, then you're kind of going, oh, maybe he's going to propose, so don't say anything.
Well, that's where every time Ben goes away, Sia reckons he's going to propose.
I'm so given up on that now. I don't even mention it anymore.
All right. Well, it's Friday. We'll get into what everybody's up to this weekend. We'll check in on some news. We'll get a little bit of sport with Robin. You can do that, right?
Yeah, I just come up with some stuff.
Yeah, all right. We'll do a little of that. And Sia's got some inspiration for us with Said by Sia. We need a little of that in the mornings. And we'll find out what else is on the menu. It's all coming up in a little while. Before we get to any of that, it's important for us to pay attention to the 5 things you need to know to start your day. It's brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. They got something for everyone, whether you're a meat lover, vegetarian, or you just like something sweet in life. They guarantee that they have the dish that will satisfy your craving. Did you like that?
Yeah, that was a good
one.
I
always wait to see how long it will go today.
All right, so here are the five things you need to know today. Cyril Ramaphosa says he might be fired. He put that out there. He just threw out a line and said, you know, if I get fired, it's at the president's pleasure, which is kind of like saying to us.
And basically saying, and remember, I said it first. You know, I just put my hand up first just to let you know.
And who knows what will happen here, but if he does, it might lead to a big split in the party before December, which a lot of people are predicting. Then in other news, further afield, Obama and George W. both took shots at Trump. Did you hear about this?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, real shots, though.
Well, no. Everybody's taking shots at Trump at the moment. They're all saying, oh, you know, he's a bad guy, the politics of division, all of that stuff. So they're busy saying things. And, I mean, neither of them mentioned it by name. They're talking about how America's divided and we've never been so divided. And you know when people talk like that, what they really mean.
Can I just say that I found that people in power like that always kind of want to skirt the issue. Like you just mentioned Ramaphosa, Barack Obama, George W. Bush.
They can't
three
talk
guys
straight.
Who basically at any point in their life could literally say anything to anyone and people should be able to listen to them. And to skirt the issue around two people like President Zuma and President Trump, they should be going, why is not someone going, this guy's an idiot?
Well, I mean, Obama's been so quiet for such a long time, a lot of people forgot that he even existed. Yeah. And George W. even more so. And then suddenly they both come out on the same day and take a pot shot at Trump. And people are starting to say, well, you know, this Trump thing is getting out of control. Why couldn't they mention him by name?
Yeah.
So that's what's happening in America. Both of them very, very careful about their wording of their statements. Mm. It had to do more with how you know, we've got to stop the bigotry and this reactionary talk, but we know who they're talking about. And while we're talking about America, there were some troops killed in Niger. Mm. 12 American troops were taken out in Niger. What happened was that they were on the border with Mali, and they were trying to get back to their vehicle, and a whole bunch of ISIS terrorists, about 50 of them, there were 15 Americans, and these ISIS guys came out of the forest, and they just started shooting at them with heavy weaponry. The Americans only had rifles. And Mattis, who's the Secretary of Defense, says that they're going to investigate this. He hasn't got all the info he needs, but they're trying to figure out exactly what happened. There was also a situation where one of the American soldiers was left behind and had to be – eventually they found his body, but it was with the help of the French and the Niger army that they managed to find this guy. And we hope Trump doesn't talk about this because, you know, he's not going to pronounce Niger properly. And he'll say nigger, and then we're going to be in huge shit. Danny Yordan is apparently a rapist, according to Jennifer Ferguson, the singer. Yeah, this is a big, ugly story.
Whoa. So they said ANC MP Jennifer Ferguson. It just kind of slipped my mind.
And the singer.
So the singer, the World Union rugby singer song.
That's the one, Jennifer Ferguson.
Man. There's the red card for Danny Yordan.
Yeah, and Danny Yordan has his own problems. I mean, this guy is already mired in all kinds of FIFA trouble.
True.
He's the guy who can't leave the country because if he leaves the country, he'll be arrested anywhere else in the world.
And now he doesn't want to even show his face in this country.
Right,
because there's other things.
He lost out in the PE elections to Athol Trollip. I mean, if you lose to someone with a name like Trollip, you really got problems. And now he's potentially also being accused of rape. So that's an ugly story. And the final story for your five things this morning, apparently Michelle Williams from Destiny's Child says she was suicidal while she was in the band. She says, I found myself in a dark place. Yes, honey, it's called the back of the stage when Kelly and Beyonce had moved to the front. That's all you need to know today in the five things.
Hashtag poor Michelle.
Yeah. All right, what's in the sport? Can you tell us, Rabin? I wouldn't know where to start. Yeah.
I don't know. I just want to talk about sport.
All right. Because
it's easy.
What do you watch? I mean, are you a big sports fan?
I'm a football fan, soccer. So I do watch that, and I do enjoy my Formula One, and I always have. Mm-hmm. But then there's other, just call it like sideline sports, which I kind of go there's like a question.
Because
it's all about the horse.
Yeah, but I did this racist thing, and I immediately assumed you were Indian, therefore cricket. But I actually know you're a football fan. Yeah. You know you're talking to a very bad audience here. Sia doesn't know anything about sport. Mabali only watches a bit of tennis, but she is kind of fanatical about it when she does. Mm-hmm. Only when she does. Sometimes.
And then it's always just three people. Yeah. Like, you know, it's Federer, Djokovic, Nadal. That's it. Hey.
Serena.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Sorry. I was being sexist to your weird tennis scissors.
But don't panic. It's because she is very arbitrary about it, too. So one day she'll decide she's into this tennis match. The next day you'll say, hey, Mubs, did you watch that game yesterday with Djokovic? She'll go, mm-mm.
Yeah.
So it's all over.
So that is my entire knowledge of sport.
You see, so I can focus in on two or three things and try to get two or three full seasons out of it, yeah. And that's fine. But I can't.
So who's your team?
I'm a Liverpool supporter.
Okay, that's hard. Shame.
It is.
Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, I was like, if your team is Liverpool and your president is Jacob Zuma, my angst is visible from space. You know, it's like you can see it from afar. Like, that's terrible.
All right. So what do you tell me about this stuff, because I also don't watch. The only football I watch is the World Cup when that rolls around.
Yeah.
And really only the matches Argentina's in.
So that you even narrowed that down. Yeah. So if they don't make it to the World Cup, you're not watching soccer for another 4 years.
Because you see, I'm not big on like patriotic sports. I think that's dangerous. I don't like cricket. Takes too long.
Yeah.
So ADD kicks
it's
in.
It's like a whole day affair.
Football I can watch 45 minutes aside.
With a bit of a tea break.
Yeah, that's good. That I can do. But I've got to really be into the teams. I've got to know all the players. Like, then I become a little bit fanatical, but again, for a small window of time. The rest, no interest at all. None. Don't watch golf.
Yeah, golf is weird for me as well.
Snooze fest.
Always on a weird time, and it's...
But you know what I'm doing this weekend? I'm
You're
going
golf.
To No. I'm going to the M Fest. It's this BMW festival.
Oh, yeah. Cool. At Kailami.
They're going to put me in a car. Let me just see what I'm driving with some fancy. I'm doing a rally drive with someone.
Ooh.
I don't know.
Are you the navigator? Left, 300 meters. 500 meters, sharp right.
Please, can he not be the navigator?
No, I'm not. No. I'm just... Well, it's when they say rally, I mean, it's at Kailami, so you're going to be driving like a rally driver around that track. So it's cool. Safe, you know.
With a rally driver
I have
person.
Been with Janiel de Villiers in his car.
That's standing group N things.
On an actual rally track. Let me tell you, that's one of the biggest adrenaline rushes you'll ever have in your life. He goes down at a corner. In fact, there might even be a YouTube video of me in there with him. He goes down a track, a dirt track.
Gravel, yeah.
No, this is dirt. It's like it's in the felt. And he hurtles with 140, 150 kilometer an hour speed at a corner. And he knows that this corner is, you probably
like
have,
degrees
you,
or
no,
degrees.
You have to turn more than 180 degrees. In other words, you're going in this direction.
It's like a hairpin.
Yeah. And then he hits that corner and he just swings out and the whole car goes out under you and it like dances. Uh-huh. The car dances on that one tire. And then it spins to exactly the, and at the right point, he puts it down and he puts the.
How is your stomach not in your throat?
Let me tell you something. This guy is a wizard. So I was in the car with him once, but this is going to be much more of a track experience. I'm looking forward to it. Apparently, there's some other people driving.
Are you a BM guy? Do you have loyalty?
No.
Are you brand loyal in terms of your car?
No, I would never.
Because you're a Merc guy, hey.
I would never. No, I'm not even a Merc guy. I would never drive a BMW. I don't like the cars. I don't like the people who drive them.
Yeah, you see, it's always about the people who drive them, yeah, and less
exactly.
about the actual car itself.
I think it's and for me, my peeve now at this time of the year is people that drive gray and silver cars in the rain and don't care about lights. And we must suspect that that looks like an object that might be a car coming towards us. If you're driving a gray car, this is like a public service announcement. Any shade of gray. Silver gray, bluey gray, dark gray, light gray, metallic gray, gunmetal gray.
Ooh.
Put your freaking lights on.
In a storm.
In a storm. No. Even in that weird time of the morning or the weird time of the night.
But isn't
and BM drivers that don't indicate.
Isn't there a stat that says that people who drive those cars are likely to have accidents?
What?
Something like
I don't
that.
Know. I just think that they're the ones that, you know, the thing about be mindful to people that just.
They don't care about.
They don't care about being mindful. I've got a white car. You will see me. It's fine. And I'm very conscious about putting my lights on and indicating all the time. My indicator pull out of my driveway sometimes. Like,
So you're a real car nerd. I mean, like in terms of when you drive.
Just because I think
you're like those people who come to a. Do you come to a complete stop at a stop street?
No, I don't come to a complete stop at a stop street. Because there's also that Indian side of me that has to kick in at some point. So
you have to balance these different sides.
My yin and my drop suspension yang. You know what I mean?
Look, I've taken you off the subject. You wanted to talk about football.
Oh yeah, so no, so you right. you asked me who my team is, like football and Liverpool, and this year I actually went to Anfield in
did
Liverpool.
You?
Yeah, I did like a, it was like a weird pilgrimage.
Like a pilgrimage.
Yeah. But I, you said do a sports thing, so I was like, I want to speak about stuff that's back. Don't worry about
it. Do you want to throw it away?
Liverpool.
Do you like it?
There were some good bits.
Oh, shame, no.
There's some good bits.
Go ahead. All right, yeah.
Oh, okay, that's a cool bit. So Tokyo.
He looks
Tokyo,
longingly
cool
at the paper.
I
like,
oh, I had that Luisa Gola for Lauren Luke. So that, so in 1964.
Suddenly feels like he's in a writer's meeting where he's
yes,
and
I did. I wrote these things down in my hand. See, right. no typing stuff. Just a
yeah, it has to be out of
so,
here in 40
so
minutes.
So Tokyo had the Olympics in 1964, and they've got the Olympics again in 2020.
Yes.
Okay.
But when they did the thing in 1964, it was a big deal that they said this flame was going to be an eternal flame. So when they lit it, it was going to burn forever.
Mm.
So the guy that was in charge of it forgot to tell them that a couple of years ago, it went off for a while. And then he got it, even his buddies like, okay, put it back on. Oh, but this flame God. Became such a part of Japanese culture that schools or banks or companies that wanted to ceremonially light a torch at the whatever, they would bring their torch to this eternal Japanese Tokyo flame.
Wow.
And then light it, and then they'd had a sense of
we've got
a bit of the eternal flame with us. But then this guy, you know, when you just got to hold your Nixes under your arms all the time and just
wow.
go, I hope they don't ask me about June the 14th. I hope they don't ask me about June the 14th. So he came clean and it was all cool, but now they've got a light. So they said, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Okay.
Stuff this eternal flame, switch it off.
Yes.
We've got the Olympics coming up in 2020.
Do you remember
we'll
that?
Do it again.
we'll
start again.
The return.
Start afresh.
Of the eternal flame.
The bangles and eternal
it's not
flame.
Such an eternal flame if it goes out though. It's kind of a staccato.
Like it went long. It looked after it for 40 something years. But.
Did you ever see that horrible Olympics when they made Muhammad Ali light the flame and it was such a disaster?
Because he couldn't, his hands were shaking. Yeah, and he was like
Parkinson's
this.
Kicked in really badly and the guy was, he was like a baby's rattle.
But like a combustible weapons? Baby rattle. On an old man. run there.
Oh, it's so sad.
And
to
that
see
one
him.
That they had those Barcelona something where they had this Paralympian or something come through with the archery.
And yeah, yeah, yeah. And then he kept missing.
Yeah. Imagine that a stadium full of people.
No.
You're shooting a fire arrow
into
60
this
meters
huge
into
the, torch.
This huge thing, and then you hope someone's at the back. Who's catching? No one's catching because no one's expecting to catch. But someone at some point they go, okay, health and safety rule number 47.
No, but
someone needs to catch.
Here's what I don't understand. Why don't they just have someone who is standing underneath who switches on the flame?
I think they did it after the third one. They just went
switch it on.
There's
a
guy with a box of matches in the corner because that's all he needs is a box of friends.
All right, someone says here, hey dudes, let Rabin come in and take up Gord's spot. You know, Gord Laws comes in.
I love Gord. Gord's a great, good
Gord
player.
Always
great
fucks player. Up Ben's day. He just brings out the asshole in Ben. I think that will make grumpy old Ben very happy. Oh, and does Rabin smoke the holy herb? Do you? You sometimes indulge?
I have. Yeah. I'm not one of those guys who go, well, if you look over here, I have a skunky spunky
you
from my
a
friend in Algeria.
A skunky and spunky.
Whatever, they have weird names, correct?
Yes, they
double
do.
Double Point is the easy one.
They
and then
do.
I was hanging out with some guys, and the guy was like, the best line was like, I've got this Algerian guy in Melville. You got to meet him. And then the guy was speaking, they were speaking across from each other.
Yeah.
And they were like, so have you tried with the new vapor thing? And have you tried the thing? And have you added the thing and the stuff? And so it became.
It's like a culture.
It's a culture, yeah. and there's technology involved
but
now.
But you don't have like
it's not just like before we would go to that guy because I think he sells some
yeah.
and then ask him to get some and we would come in like a little bag and we'd be like, oh, we got to do all these things ourselves. I don't mind spending more if someone can roll this thing for us already.
This is the thing, right? I don't smoke weed at all. I don't even like the smell of it, but I've got friends who
do. You
don't
even smoke cigarettes?
No, I don't. So I've got friends who do, but then they have to open up this packet and I have to cut it up with a pair of scissors. You know, it's like a mission.
Yeah, it is a process.
It's a thing. And I'm like, why don't you just can't you buy
that's,
it ready,
that's
mate?
That's a lot of work.
Yes, you can.
Oh, you can?
Yes.
Okay.
That's a lot of work.
Sorry, I'm dumb.
This is the irony of it. That's a lot of work to do something that makes you lazy.
Yes, that makes you just chill out. No, but apparently if you smoke it through those vaping things, that really knocks you out. That's what I was told.
Yeah, because I think I know. that was I was told as she snores on the microphone. Yeah, I know. So, the weed thing is just, I suppose it's fun. you know, when I've had it.
You don't have to justify yourself. It's just
I'm just trying to answer the question.
You can say, I don't want to answer your question. You can tell him to get out of here.
Weird meat stalker guy.
I can't wait for Rabin to tell us about the Springboks winning the 95 World Cup from his BlackBerry. Carl.
Where was I when that happened?
I don't know.
95.
It wasn't a big deal to me. It is very difficult to find a white car in Switzerland. Apparently, they don't have a lot of white cars manufactured in Switzerland because of the snow.
Oh.
Oh, that
makes sense. I'm not too off topic.
Yeah, no. That's an interesting point of view. And Ashley says, hey, Gareth, a French coworker told me now you can shorten words for slang in French. It doesn't work. Oh, you can't shorten words for slang in French. It doesn't work. So the cool kids switch words and use them backwards. Isn't that weird?
Oh, wait. Did you just say the cool kids? Well, I suppose, or the dyslexic fools?
Maybe it's just dyslexia, yeah. By the way...
That's a lot of effort.
I know you're not here for an interview today, but this whole thing of writing for shows fascinates me because it's like the creative process when you write a song or anything else, doing jokes. I heard the best thing. I can't even tell you if this is the right clip, but you know J.B. Smoove from...
Oh, love him.
Kirby Enthusiasm.
Now, yes. Leon.
He's a comedian as well, right? Yes. Like he does stand-up stuff.
And he used to write for Saturday Night Live, but he says 95% of all of his pitches to Saturday Night Live were rejected. He had some pretty funny pitches. Just listen to this quickly.
We were together at Saturday Night Live.
We did.
We were on the writing staff at the same time, and you were legendary. Fred, you can attest this.
Oh, yeah.
J.B.'s Monday pitches... Yeah. We would pitch to the host. You had some of the greatest pitches of all time. I want to read some of my highlights, and you just tell us what the idea is. The guy who worked at Subway, who used to be a bank teller.
Oh, this guy's funny. You know why? Because he worked at a bank for a long time. So he makes great sandwiches, but he can't get the bank teller out of him. You know what I mean? So every time he asks you if you want cheese on your sandwich, he licks his finger.
He licks his finger like a bank teller.
The
salami.
Yes, the salami. The Apimptus.
The Apimptus was about, you know what? It was a take on The Apprentice with Snoop. Snoop Dogg was Snoop Dogg
was the host. Yeah,
he was the Apimptus, and he sent everybody on the cast out to sell their ass. Whoever sold the most ass one was the champion of Pimptus.
Right.
It's simple.
Yep.
Should have made air.
Infomercial for a face. You had a great way for people to have a cheap facelift.
So what you do is this. Okay, you take your hands, both hands, right? You grab the side of your face and pull back. You pull back, right? Now, here's the trick. You pull back. Of course, you're saying, why? Your hands are showing. Everybody's going to see your hands. But it's really about a wig. A wig that covers your hands up so they don't see you pulling your face back.
So you do have to keep the hands there all day.
You get some fake arms that hang down. Like this.
Fake arms.
I forgot about the fake arms.
It's simple.
Helicopter family.
The helicopter family was brilliant. It was about a couple that met in the military, right? They were both helicopter pilots. Mm-hmm. And they both got out of the military, started a family, but they can't get the helicopter out of their system because it was around a helicopter so much. So you go to Thanksgiving dinner, they all slumped over like this, they talk really loud. Pastor Cranberry! Pastor Cranberry! Come on! Pastor Cranberry! So they're still in the helicopter in their minds.
They're still in the helicopter. Tom Brady, I remember this. For Tom Brady, you wrote a thing from the 1950s. He was the first football player, famous for this, the first football player to slap another man's ass.
I'm going
to
tell you something. Last year, I did media day for the NFL, and I brought it up to him in the press conference.
Okay, good.
He remembered it, too.
That's great.
So this guy's name was Nick Butkowski.
Okay.
Butkowski. He was the first player ever in the heyday of the NFL to smack another man on the ass after a good play. But nobody understood why a man would touch another man on the ass in the 1950s.
Right.
He was the only NFL player to be traded to every team because nobody understood why another man would...
I just love this guy. I'd love to get into his head. He seems to me like he would be fun to be around.
Yeah, I love comedians, and I love this thing of... When people can see how committed he is, even though the gag was bounced and he never went to air,
yeah,
he still believes in it. He reads it with such relish and enthusiasm. He still goes, "This is the thing. This guy, the helicopter people. So you got to be committed to the gag. You got to say, when I wrote this thing down, It made sense to me then. But it might not make sense to other people, but
he's enthusiastic and he believes in his own material. And yeah. and that is a major confidence move, because that True. Is all you need in comedy.
True.
If you could pull it off, the audience will go with you. All right, we'll get back to some other nonsense in a second. We'll check in on some of the stories in the news. But before we do that, here's Said by Sia, where we get something that makes us feel a little bit better on a Friday or any other day. Sia, what do you have for us today?
Well, this I think we just all deserve to slow clap this guy for. So with Cape Town currently only having enough usable water, the latest is to last until March 2018.
That's right.
Things are getting freaking desperate for the city and its residents. So while no real solution has been put forward, thank goodness for this one UCT student who may just have the answer. His name is Nkosi Natinkomo, and he's a third year civil engineering student at UCT, and he's mm-hmm. formed a company that reduces the amount of water people use at home and work. So Nkosi Naiti was unable to register at UCT in 2017 due to a lack of funds. Even more inspiring that he was like, actually, that's not going to stop me. So he decided to apply some of his practical knowledge in order to find a solution to the Cape water crisis. So now he's gone on to develop this grey water system, which could be used in South African homes and places of business. And the company is called Aqua Renew, Aqua R-E-N-U, and was formed with three other friends who help him as well. So his other friends are Sese Tu, who's a fourth year civil engineering student. He's the project manager. Njabule is working and studying business part-time. He's mm-hmm. responsible for the operations. And Monica, who's a final year student at Vega, who does the branding and the marketing for the company. So they really have quite an amazing team ready for operations here. So Aqua Renew is intended to become this nationally recognized brand and to have their products a standard feature in typical South African homes. So this is how it works. The students are working on a design that utilizes rainwater and grey water as primary sources of water for irrigation and toilet flushing for large properties such as, you know, schools or complexes. Mm-hmm. And they've created this design coupled with their old grey water unit, which would reduce consumption by up to 80% per month. So currently the company is working with contractors in Mpumalanga, and they've been installing their grey water units in some schools.
They don't need it in Mpumalanga. Someone must get him into the Cape. Yeah.
But so far they've also have clients who are homeowners in Cape Town and actually in Joburg as well. So kudos to these guys. Like, they just see this issue and they're like, actually, let's try to figure something out. So they're working on this, and I think that's amazing. So they're called Aqua Renew.
I love this.
UCT students.
You know, this is the thing. I'm first of all, engineers are essential and we need more of them, and mm-hmm. they're the smartest people and they will solve a lot of our problems. And second of all, I love the fact that these are, you know, young black students from Cape Town who had trouble with fees and all that kind of crap, and they've come up with a good idea and they found a way to make it work. They've got a minimum viable product and they've got it out there in the market already. Nobody's helped them.
Mm-hmm.
They did this themselves.
Mm.
Beautiful. You see, the best people still don't need any help. They could still do it all on their
own. True. You just got to solve a problem.
And I think for me, the big lesson is how you react to issues as well. You know, some people are just sitting there like, oh well.
No water. I'm going to cry. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so there's in the news. Sorry, I just interrupted you there.
No.
In the news the last week, they were saying that there are wealthy people in Cape Town who's just phoning up like people like Valpre or whatever and going, I need 50,000 liters.
Really?
And just bringing it. And people are just getting trucks. But now it's, you can't, and this I found also interesting, it's illegal to buy water in bulk from someone else. It's legal to buy a bottle of water like this.
Mm-hmm.
But someone, you can't go somewhere.
You can't stockpile?
You can't stockpile 100,000 liters of water and
Why
sell
is
it to your
illegal?
Buddy. Because even the government doesn't charge you for water. They charge you for a management fee of bringing the water to you, but they don't physically charge you for the water. So when I was reading this, I went, I never knew that. So, maybe
so in other
that's
words,
something.
We're not allowed to trade in water?
Yes, because you trade in oil. It's water shouldn't be seen as a commodity in those bulk things.
So you, when you buy bottled water, you're buying the bottle.
Yeah, you're buying. Because the bottle, do you know, if you open your tap,
mm-hmm.
City Power, Joburg Water, a liter of water is cents.
It's tiny.
It's not even a cent. No. It's a 1 kiloliter. Sorry, no. It's 1,000 liters is like 6 rand or something.
Yeah.
So if you're paying R6 for half a liter,
yeah,
you're paying for the transportation that went into this, you're paying for the branding, you're paying for the packaging, you're paying for the stuff. But water itself is, intrinsically, it's around us. We can just, you know, I suppose geographically, you need to be where the water is.
So if when a homeowner is paying for water and electricity, then what am I paying for in that?
The service rendered.
The service rendered.
Because someone had to put the pipes, someone had to open the tap, someone had to put the thing, someone had to put the chlorine in the big pool at the top.
The whole thing has to be pressurized, blah,
yes,
blah, blah.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So in Ireland, Ireland water was free for the longest time. No one paid for water. And recently, about 3 or 4 years ago, they were like, we're going to start watching, we're going to start, you have to pay some money for water. People lost their minds. You know when white people are protesting.
You.
Yeah, so there's this whole big thing where they've got this, and it's been this ongoing saga for Irish people going, but why do we have to pay for water now?
Yeah.
And it makes sense. If you're building infrastructure, once it's there, it can last 100 years.
Yeah.
You don't need to be digging it up all the time.
So you actually aren't allowed to buy water in bulk, and you can't stockpile it. That's fascinating.
Hmm.
I had no idea.
Oh, you
I also
can,
didn't know.
But it might be illegal.
Oh. Yeah, you might be caught up.
You can, like Chris Rock said, you can drive your car with your feet. Don't make it a good idea.
In July, I went to stay in this apartment in Clifton. Beautiful apartment. Like, uh-huh. You can't believe this place must be worth possibly tens of millions.
Ooh.
Maybe even hundreds of millions. Who knows? And I spied out of the corner of my eye the flat next door, which is as big and as impressive. Had all these bottles of water on the balcony. They were stockpiling water.
See, that's it. It's just in times of a crisis, it's just the people, the haves, will just go. You can just go to and go. You right. Phone we'll up Valpre and say, "I want 60,000 bottles."
Here's 100,000 rand. Bring me as much water as you can.
Correct.
Right, and you won't run out.
And there'll be another 100,000 next month if
but
you want
it. I still
want
to see those rich people decanting it into a bath.
Yeah.
No, they'll have someone to do that.
Oh, they've got their Jeffreys.
One bottle of Valpre at a time.
Of course. Yeah, Jeffrey will do that after he manages the garden.
Well, I've heard such interesting things about how it's the dumbest move you could possibly make to buy bottled water, especially in a city like Joburg where the water is
really
very
good
quality. Yeah, you just open a tap and people insist on drinking water out of a bottle and it's dumb. It's bad for the environment. It's a waste of money.
Redundant.
It's just stupid. It's dumb. Apparently Nestle make more money out of bottled water than they do out of chocolate.
Here's the thing. Yes, and I agree. And even Coca-Cola. So Coca-Cola have water brands as well.
Right.
So if you walk into any shop and you open up one of those fridges, there's Coca-Cola, there's Fanta, there's cream soda, there's ginger ale, and then there's water.
Water.
Mm-hmm.
Same price.
Oh, snap.
So the Coca-Cola that has the sugar and the additives and the fancy packaging and blah, 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 R7.50.
Mm-hmm.
The water, which is nothing to it.
Yeah, same thing.
R7.50. So you're going, so either you've been selling us Coca-Cola really expensively, or you can make this water really cheaper.
Yeah.
I need to analyze my entire life.
We have been duped.
Right, this is interesting.
Hmm.
All right, a water price in Midvale, they pay 700 rand a month. The municipality refuses to explain. That's what people pay in Midvale. Hmm.
How's that a thing?
Don't know. That's what I just
got a message. Oh, I think they're using Midvale because that's where the water is. So if you're paying 700 rand in Midrand, you understand it's got to go through 60 kilometers of piping.
This is Midvale.
Yeah, so that's where the dam is. Midvale. Yeah. So that's what she's saying. Why is it so expensive that when it's right here?
Oh,
we
when
have
it's
source.
Right there.
Yeah.
Yes.
What's to do there?
Hmm.
And the fact that they refuse to explain is also very dodgy.
Yeah, but now we know why the refuse to explain happens.
Mm.
You know, we know why they refuse to explain, because refuse to explain requires some sort of accountability.
Mm.
And now the refuse to explain is what the 2-year-old will tell you when clearly he's been eating the chocolate cake. But where's the chocolate cake, Monroe? I don't know. Why is the chocolate cake all over your body? I don't know.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Is it chocolate cake?
I know there are people who you have those JoJo tanks.
Yeah.
And they use those. They fill those up with rainwater and all kinds of other things.
Connected to your geese,
your gutters and stuff.
My parents in Qwaqwa, in the Free State.
Put it to Chaba.
Yes, they went through a difficult time where they had to queue for water because these water trucks would come into the different neighborhoods. Mm. And at certain times of the day, you would have to go with your container and queue at the water truck because they didn't have water.
Your dad must have loved that.
Well, I mean, now we have this huge tank at home. I mean, I think it's about 50 liters worth that they just every time that tank has to be full because you just never know when you're going to go through a tough time.
Yeah.
And it stays outside like by the...
I'm sure it's more than 50 liters.
Yeah, no, it's definitely more than
50 liters. Sounds like 50 liters.
It's definitely
like
more than 50 liters.
Toilet
it's this big, massive plastic tank.
Jojo tanks. They call them Jojo tanks.
Yeah.
So but there again,
that thing
that's
is
where
always
the water
full
is.
At home.
Put it at Chaba, Lesotho, Maseru, Bethlehem, those places. There's water there because it, you know, so it doesn't make sense how, even from Lesotho, they're sending water to Gauteng.
Well,
but
this is,
Lesotho
this is
can't send water 50 km to put it to Chaba.
This is the frustrating thing is parts of the Free State had no water because all of it was being sent to Gauteng. It's
all
insane.
Right. Here's some interesting stuff. Do you want to know the top most expensive water brands in the world are?
Yeah.
Okay,
listen to this.
Fiji.
This is unbelievable. Oh. Fiji's in there.
Okay.
Christian Lacroix water.
Is that the number one?
$13.95 a bottle. $13.95 a bottle. 10,000 BC water. It gets its water from an isolated watershed in the coastal glacier mountain range in Canada. The said watershed is in a protected region, uninhabited by humans or animals.
Except the machinery to make the water.
Right. Then that one, by the way, is $14 for a 750ml bottle. Then there's something called Veen, V-E-E-N. And they say that this water is unusually smooth. It comes from the Konisajo Spring in the Finnish Lapland and has been found to have very low mineral content. Despite its staggering price, it is sold all over Europe. Then Hawaiian Deep Seawater. This one is basically exactly what it says on the label. The manufacturer harvests the water deep within the Earth's surface. In fact, the water comes from a staggering depth 3,000 feet below the Pacific Ocean.
Sure.
Costs you $33.50 a bottle. They say the water is free from any pollutants, which is probably the reason why it costs so much. Aqua Amore, which sounds like that sounds like cheap.
Amore.
Give me a break.
It's sold exclusively in Centurion.
Aqua Amore. How's that? I've got a bottle of Aqua Amore. Listen to this. Drinking a bottle of Aqua Amore is like drinking from a fresh stream flowing from the top of a freezing mountain.
Oh, wow. Come away.
At least according to people who actually drank it. That may seem weird since the contents are just, you know, water. Harvested from icebergs off the coast of Newfoundland and Labrador. Supposedly crisp and cool, manufacturers say Aqua Amore's waters are free of any human pollution. It's $37 for a 750ml bottle.
Ooh.
Bling,
oh man, that's wine money.
Bling H2O is $40 a bottle.
What a tacky name.
And it's just got a really, really pricey vessel. A frosted bottle speckled with Swarovski crystals. For $40 a bottle, you'd be stupid to have that. But I can see a lot of rappers putting that in their fridge.
Yeah, I see a few of those bottles in Bedford View, though.
Number three, Filico, $219 a bottle.
Filico,
does it come with a guy called Philip?
Listen, comes from its $219 bottled water line. It is bottled in Switzerland. Each piece is designed to look like a chess piece. A king or a queen. The bottles are studded with Swarovski crystals and are finished with golden bottle caps and crowns that are adorned with stones. Kona Nigari water is $402 a bottle.
Is this
that's
$5,000
rand a bottle. Okay, listen to this. What you get in every bottle of Kona Nigari water is pretty much salt water harvested through thousands of feet of the Pacific Ocean off the coast of Hawaii.
So similar of the Hawaiian thing, but
correct,
just
but
deep
much cheap, much more expensive. Manufacturers claim their water is embedded with special qualities that enhance your health, improve your skin, and reduce stress. Even for that, that's insane. And finally, number one, Acqua di Cristallo, Tributo a Modigliani, $60,000 a bottle.
Hold up now.
Contains a mix of Fiji and France's spring waters, and actual glacial water from Ireland. Topping the whole thing is 5 milligrams of 23-carat gold dust. If you like a bottle of water with some gold in it, get a bottle of this pricey water. How's that?
That's 814,329 rands
just
for
so
water.
Aren't you going? That's just going. There's douchebags all around the world. From Fiji to Hawaii to Japan.
If you buy that stuff, you're an idiot, right? You're an idiot. There's no other way to put it. There's Unless, I mean, that's just because you have too much money.
Yes.
Mm. Just, yeah. No. I know I've spoken about Loy before, but Loy says people go, "Oh, I'm a foodie," and he goes, "Oh, people go, I collect sneakers," and he goes, "If you're a foodie, then you'd also eat some knickknacks." Correct.
Yes, mm. Of course.
People that eat knickknacks don't say I'm a foodie, even though I think I'm a foodie and I had knickknacks yesterday. But people only tell you're a foodie because they went to that restaurant and had the 7-course meal and paid $1,500 for it.
Oh.
The same with people that go, I collect sneakers, and you go, okay, well, where's your 1976 Adidas Tourer?
No.
Yeah. So you've only got the Jordans from the last 4 years.
Right.
In different colors.
Yeah, the different.
So you collected the expensive things.
Yeah.
So he goes, people are not foodies or sneaker collectors. They're just idiots with disposable income. Well, and that's what it is.
That is the best way I've heard it being explained.
When we come back, we'll check in on some news. I'll also tell you what the most expensive substances on earth are. And you'd be surprised what they are. Since we were talking about water, you won't believe what these are and how much they cost. That's coming up next. First, stretch your legs. Get some water. Just tap water.
Yeah.
Yeah, drink it from the tap.
Right. I mean, this is ridiculous. Don't get caught up in this crap. $400, $2,000 a bottle? Are these people insane?
This is CliffCentral.com.